Hey guys, welcome to episode 13 of the Ace of Spada podcast, hosted by your boy right here, Anthony Spada. I have two special guests on this episode. I DM'd them all the way back in November, and they gladly agreed to give back because that's what they believe in. And their names are Aaron Diamond and Jordan Duggar. These two are some of the leading, most intelligent people I know in the field of fitness and online coaching and marketing and just overall how to run a business. I inspire to be like them. They brought the heat today, literally brought the heat. We discuss everything from upper limit theory, scarcity mindset, them as a couple and how they grow together, what success is like to them, what's their definition of that, and finding your purpose, and many more topics. It was a great hour conversation with them, and I couldn't be more grateful for their times. You can definitely go find them at anywhere in the show notes. I will tag them. I will have everything in there. So definitely go look if you want to find their information. Definitely reach out to them on Instagram. They always respond. That's how I reach out to them. So you might get that chance to make that human connection with them too as well. They also have all their links are on Instagram as well. So definitely go take a follow. Their content is the best in the game by far. So yeah. And then let me shout out my final two things. Everybody, two companies that I really support. They support me and my vision. I support them and their vision. Number one is Fitletics. They're a clothing company run by my coach, Matt Saxon, out of Cleveland, Ohio. You can use code SPADA. It's a support code, so it doesn't directly get you a discount, but it supports me very much, and I appreciate anybody that uses it because they're coming out with a new launch this Saturday with some hoodies and a long sleeve, so be ready. And then secondly, Rev Up Nutrition. They're a nutrition company out of Bethlehem, PA. They reached out to me, and I love their product. I use Nitrous V2. They also have Tune Up, which is a BCAA-EAA combo, so great for recovery as you get those essential amino acids. And Nitrous is just an overall clean, working pre-workout that also has nootropics in it that allows them to use it outside of class if you wanted to, or outside the gym, excuse me. So definitely go check them out. Use code SPADA also for 15% off. So everybody, sit back, relax, prepare for this episode. Welcome, Aaron Diamond and Jordan Duggar. All right. Welcome, Jordan and Aaron, to the podcast. It's a pleasure having you on today. Just to give a little spiel about Aaron and Jordan, they are both online coaches, really successful. I met them through Grant Ziyech. I found him on, I think I saw Jordan's post one day on his story, and I followed him, and then I found Aaron directly after that. So I just decided to follow both of them, and just so happened that they are two of the best in the industry at producing content. So
high praise, appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, you guys talk about the topics that a lot of people don't like to talk about, which is why I wanted to have you on today. And so if you guys just want to welcome on, just give a little spiel about yourselves if you guys want to. It's up to you guys.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you having us, and I think it's cool like how much ambition you have with the podcast and just asking us to come on, and a lot of people in our network and stuff, and we're like, hell yeah, like we're happy to do that. It's fun to be on this side of it. I feel like it's like, I don't know, which do you think is harder, being interviewed or being the interviewee?
Probably being the interviewer.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just a little more natural on this side, right? So yeah, man, and kudos to you, you know, for taking such an initiative to getting this thing off the ground. And, you know, we had a conversation just recently with Amanda Bucci and talking about like the difference between reaching out for a favor with intent as compared to, you know, just being sort of like completely unintentional. And you always have clear intent because you humanize people and you make them seem, you know, seen, and you actually pay attention to the things we produce. It's not just, hey, can I have a favor from you guys? You know us really well. So that's always going to get you really far. And so, you know, kudos for you for having that intent.
Thank you. Actually, I was just listening to that podcast literally on my walk to class today, because I wanted to have literally just wanted to see what your now views are in case anything has changed on the topics that we're going to talk about. So, but it was great because I was like connecting, and it's all you had to do. I mean, they discuss it, and Gary Vaynerchuk talks about it. He talks about you give, and then you may ask. And I think also when you were talking about the humanized part, it was like me, Jordan, and Aaron, I always comment on their stories or something or any other posts to try to like make that human connection before I even asked you guys to come on. Mm-hmm. And it took a while, but it's pretty cool thinking that you guys saw my ambition. I actually looked at my notes the other day and I came up with this idea in May last year. So
that's cool.
Super cool, man.
Hell yeah. So
creating it in August was like a thing where you put it in your mind and it happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just a little more backstory, I guess, on Aaron and I. So we run a few different companies together. We have Impact Fitness Coaching Academy. It's an online business coaching incubator. Essentially, we bring in online coaches at a lot of different levels in business and walk them through the whole process, help them scale. Also have EDF, Aaron's coaching company.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we both run fitness coaching businesses separately and together. So I have mine primarily working with women. Jordan's probably 50-50. Would you say probably more women, because more women just need help.
Yeah.
And then we have Transform Together, which is a fitness coaching company we have together, which is with assistant coaches where we collaborate and do that. We're also engaged. So
engaged to be married.
Thing. Congratulations. Thanks. Yeah. We're podcast hosts, so which is why, you know, I started by saying I really like just appreciate your ambition. This is so cool because, man, I know how scared I was starting doing this. Yeah. And that was after already producing a lot of content. But podcasting is a new game. Like, you really have to put yourself out there. So we do that as well. It's called the Full State of Mind podcast. And we have a few pit bulls. Yep. And that's us.
There we are.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just get into the first topic. I think it's a big thing that you guys always bring up is the scarcity mindset, and that people are always more money focused and rather worried about how they're going to spend the money or what they're going to spend the money on, and then instead of what will they gain from it. So if you guys want to go deeper into that scarcity mindset, and then I'll just comment a bit, like give my side of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it goes deeper than money, and I think it shows up in different ways. And I think that's where it usually starts and where I can usually identify it with somebody. For example, I was telling Jordan about this, someone who came through IFCA and has had really a huge success story. And in my first conversation with her, I saw her comparing herself to someone else, basically like a business that she liked and wanted to have, but she was kind of talking about her in a way that was a little bit of envy, a little bit of jealousy. And I think if you have scarcity, like whether it's in business, in your relationships, I think women have it, and just competition with one another. If you can realize in general, there's enough to go around, it changes every facet of your life. So it's not just money, like, hey, there's enough beauty to go around. Like, I think that's when women kind of fight and get catty about. There's enough Instagram like fame or likes to go around. There's enough, you know, absolutely anything that you can think of that you might be envious of one another. And once you make that shift, it really does start to change your life because there are enough resources for everybody. And then you can collaborate.
Yeah, everybody. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. So many people who enter in maybe a next level of community or ambition, maybe it's in a business sense or around their bodies, they think that that life is this zero sum game, right? For me to be able to gain, I have to take something from you, a resource, a piece of energy, whatever the case might be, where there might have been a time in the world when it was like that, right? We evolved that way. We evolved in a barter economy. Here's my two horses for your, you know, bag of potatoes. And the world doesn't work like that anymore. We live in a really fake credit system, right? So money is just fake.
Yeah.
Like there is no, it's finite or it's not finite, but it's literally just print. Right. So we can step out of that and understand that there is enough resource and wealth, happiness, creativity, energy for everybody. Everybody can win. And that really does create, like Aaron said, it starts with money often. That's where it shows up because we grew up that way. Right. And it's the one resource that we tend to gravitate towards and latch onto, but it starts to really become ever apparent everywhere in life, especially as you overcome it.
Yeah. Well, I want to give one little example that makes that point pretty proven that I like to use with IFCA students, because clients are another big one out of scarcity. And especially when we're getting started, we kind of get in our own head of like, you know, I can't tell this person my secrets, or I can't share this person on my Instagram because then people are going to move towards them and stuff. And so I'll say to an IFCA student, okay, you know, how many clients do you want to work with? Like a million? And they look at me like I'm crazy. Like, no. I'm like, oh, okay. So like 1,000. No, like 30. Okay, 30. So you really think out of the 7 billion people in the world, there are, you know, and that always kind of shifts people out of it a little bit. So if you're someone who suffers with that, take that and run with it.
Yeah, I think I actually had I was listening to you about the abundance mindset that you have, that you always talk about, and having that sort of like what you put in, you're going to get out. And I was listening to Dr. Joe Dispenza,
yeah,
about this. And he says, what you create in your mind comes true.
Absolutely.
So if you're in that mindset of being scared that you might not get your money back or something like that, it's like you're always going to be stuck in this situation where you're not going to make growth. And I had it the other day where I literally, so I was talking with Jason Phillips. You guys know him fairly well. I signed up for his NCI level one because I want to start working on my personal training. And it was like $1,000. And I was like, what am I going to do with that $1,000? Like that could be productive as getting my personal training certificate. Like I want to create my business. So this is one step that I'm going to make more money going that way. So I caught myself in that scarcity mindset for about a day. And then I had to think about it. And I went into my meditation thinking about it. And that's when I came out and I was like, oh no, I can make a ton more money if I have this certification.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, to that point, you create more of what you focus on and you notice more of what you focus on. So oftentimes people are too focused on what they currently have and losing what they currently have as opposed to what is possible, what is out there in abundance, right? Oftentimes we focus all this energy on, you know, clipping coupons and saving this and that and like finding out how I can do this instead of learning how to provide more value into the world and give. Therefore, your actual retainable value that you're going to pull out increases substantially. So just way better off to operate from that place.
Yeah. Just to put it in kind of different wording, you know, Joe Dispenza says that Tony Robbins says where your focus goes, your energy flows. And that's something we've like adapted and we say all the time to people, which is so true. If you're so focused on what you don't have or what you're scared to spend or not having enough, you're going to attract more of that. You're going to be limited resources.
Yeah. And that's why I decided to do that trip that I was just telling you guys before we went on the air that I'm going to the Arnold Expo is because I was talking with Sean about it and he was like, the amount of people you can meet and ask them maybe to be on your podcast, like if you have that human connection that you make, the amount of guests I can get on and actually start recording with them would be huge. So yeah. I'm like,
yeah,
that's worth the price of going to it.
For sure, 100%. Man. I was talking to an IFCA student recently, a couple months ago, and she was debating as to whether or not to invest in this event that we were all going to. She's like, I just don't know if it's going to be worth it. Like, what do you think? I'm like, look, if you really don't think that the $1,000 you're going to put towards this, you're going to be able to take something to be able to make 10 grand, it's on you. That's something that you'd have to be responsible for. Like, the only way you want to do that is if you showed up and stressed over that $1,000 you just spent and only focused on that. Because if you're only focused on that, yeah, you're going to miss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like this brings us into the what I want to talk about next, which is the upper limit theory. I think it works perfectly into that with the self-sabotage and you go back to the way you were before when you were having, before you had the growth, you go back and you self-sabotage yourself. So Jordan, I know you talk about this a lot. Would you mind explaining it and going more, and then we'll go more into detail?
Yes.
Yeah.
Upper limit theory.
Yeah, totally. So I'll explain it in terms of a few examples, and this can manifest in a lot of different ways. Okay. So if you've ever been in a room and you feel guilty for maybe being smarter than everybody. Okay. And let me explain this actually in a way of our friend Hannah, who's a business coach. This is definitely an early life example of upper limit theories. When she was young, she got kind of condemned for getting really good test grades because it made other people in her class feel embarrassed. So what she would do at that point is she would self-sabotage testing and she would actually purposely get lower test grades throughout the course of her life. And this is putting an upper limit cap because of your fear of how either other people feel, or more often than not, it's fear of failure, right? It's fear of getting to this point of this thermostat that, if you look at it like a thermostat, you get to this upper level and you think, wow, I can't break past here. The reason for that is the ego. The ego is what we use to protect who we are as an identity. And the ego not likes to feel important. So if you reach past this level of success and happiness and fulfillment, you then start to dissolve the ego. And as the ego starts to feel threatened, it's going to cause you to do crazy shit to pull yourself back down into this comfortable range, right?
Really well said. The only thing I would add to that is to realize that it doesn't like discriminate any one area of your life. It transfers over to all of them. So what we see happen a lot of times with clients is they, you know, physically start getting like healthier, improving their body, like they're feeling good. And maybe they start to sabotage their relationship, or maybe they're doing amazing in their career and then they come home and they pick a fight with their spouse. So I think the coolest thing about the upper limit theory is recognizing it's a thing, because then you can do something about it. And I've had some of the biggest aha moments with people where I see them doing it. I see them sabotaging an area and I'm like, you know, could it be that maybe you don't think you deserve this? Could it be that this is so good and you're really like, you're hitting that ceiling and you're bringing it back down? And once you recognize it, you can change it.
Yeah. If you think about life almost like two parallel lines. Within those parallel lines, we have everything that's normal for us, everything that's comfortable, friends, family, normal environments and circumstances. Anytime we start to drift outside of those lines, there becomes this almost panic button that gets cued within a lot of people. And meaning that we start to achieve a certain level of success, happiness, wealth, our ego will want to bring us back down to be within the confine of those parallel lines. It's like people who blow all their money after winning the lottery, or something that I do all the time. If things are going really well in business and life and everything, I start arguing with Aaron. And that's like a manifestation of your body trying to get back into a comfortable range, right? Somewhere where you're used to. Because anything that we're not used to as a subconscious, our bodies start to freak out. Our internal cues start to go nuts. And it's like, this is not right. This is not normal. And it just starts to pull us back down in so many ways. So what we have to do is we have to change our standard for what is actually acceptable in our life. We have to raise that. So we have to raise our tolerance for good and happiness. Until you do that, you're constantly going to kind of hit this wall in an upper point, shoot yourself back down. It does work in the lower end too, right? If you start to hit rock bottom, it tends to fire you up. You then start to push forward and get back into that comfortable safe zone. So we have to raise our ability to appreciate good things in life. One area that this comes up for me is accepting compliments. So when people compliment me in a public forum, I have such a tendency to want to distract them, change the subject, say like, oh, you're good, you know, and that is upper limit theory manifesting, because I'm not willing to accept that gratitude and graciousness because I don't feel like I belong up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I get this. Oh, yeah. You're good. Go ahead.
I was just going to add one thing to that. I think it's nice to realize too, that everybody has like their thermostat set on a different temperature, if we're going to go with that analogy, based off of your childhood and based off of, you know, just things that have kind of conditioned you to be that way. So I had a client here recently I was really battling with, because I saw it so obvious in her business. She'd gain a little bit of momentum and then she would just self-destruct. She would go off the grid. She wouldn't make an Instagram post. She wouldn't do a single thing to move her business forward for like a month at a time. So I dug in there, you know, what is going on? And turns out, I mean, really crazy upbringing with just like a mom with mental illness and a lot of like just stories that just started pouring out of her. And she realized like she's found self-worth in like being a mom and being a fitness competitor and everything else. She kind of felt like she wasn't worthy of, because all of this was living in her subconscious.
Yeah. I think I do the same thing when, so I was severely bullied when I was in high school. So I was used to making that standard. Like that was my standard for like 6 years. So when I came to college and I started seeing success, I just brought myself down to it. And it was like, you could tell, like I would start working out, I'd start getting that momentum and then it would just crash. And it was really unfortunate because it was like you hit that stride and you're feeling great. You get that dopamine hit and then it's just bam. And I was like, and I go back to like not talking to anybody. I try to be low key as possible, not trying to socialize. And I was like, And I talked about it today on my post. I talked about being vulnerable. And I think that's what helped me get out of this type of theory was like, is that I need to accept what I went through and kind of share that as my story. And that's what made me help myself get through that point. Because this was like the first 2 years of college that I was doing this. And now it's like, I don't do it as often. I do it some, but I decreased it by at least saying how vulnerable I was and showing like what happened.
Yeah.
You know, I bet too, though, that's been a strength and something that's helped you in some ways too, because I know that because Jordan's a little bit like this, or I assume that because Jordan's like this, where I bet, you know, getting bullied, getting made fun of, like you're not afraid to ask stupid questions because you know what it's like to like get rejected, get made fun of, where I'm somewhat on the opposite end of that spectrum. And this is, here's my story. You know, I was the oldest child. I was kind of always at least acted like a know-it-all. And so if I'm made fun of, I take that really, really hard. And it's a strength for you because you're willing to like ask people to be on your podcast, do different things, ask the questions that people, you know, they might, we easily could have said, no, we're not doing that. And a lot of people, but you're not afraid of that, which is like helping you too.
Yeah. And this relates to both cases is that, you know, fear, all of our fear comes from our ego, and it's the ego is the part that wants recognition. It wants protection also from being judged in society. You feel a lot of insignificance and insecurity around judgment from one end, and Aaron does from another end, right? But they're kind of synonymous. But once we do actually make a commitment to where we say like, we're going to live to our full potential, and we actually start to move in that direction, we don't need protection from our ego anymore. So once we actually have this sort of purpose, and we can live within creativity, and we can live within this higher level of a standard for us, then our ego has no place. So then we can slowly shift past that. And trust me, it's a work in process. Mm-hmm. I'm still fucking horrible at it. Hopefully I can say that on this. But
yeah. Cursing is allowed. Trust me. Cool. If it wasn't, that'd be a problem. No, but I think it's just come to the fact where you just got to, it's like trying to minimize that ego as much as possible, which is hard to do. I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with, is actually dissolving that ego somewhat to make sure it happens less and less and less.
Yeah, there was something that I heard recently that was profound, and it's that there are two types of people in the world right now. There are people who are lost, and everybody's lost. We're all lost. None of us know what the fuck's going on. We don't know. We don't have anything figured out. But there are people who admit that they're lost, and then there are people who are in denial. And those ones who are in denial, their egos are really at control, right? Because they're afraid of the judgment of saying like, I need help. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But then there are these other people who are like, no, I'm lost. And you can find every successful person in that category. People like Elon Musk, you know, Ty Lopez, Tony Robbins, all these people who at one point said, I'm lost. I need help. I need to start searching for answers through books, through podcasts, through research, events, you know, masterminds. And those are the people who get ahead because they've had the ego dissolution enough of it to say, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. The specific analogy with that I think was so good. So I'll share, it was Ty Lopez, and he talked about with, you know, if you're trying to go in one direction, like you can think that direction is so right. And you say, okay, that's north. I'm going north. Well, what if your compass is just totally off? What if you go the wrong intel? Oftentimes we do. So instead you're going completely south. And he talks about, you know, going around the earth. If you need to go north 1 mile to get there, you very easily could. You could. Are we okay on audio?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I thought I could hear an echo. So you could easily go, you know, north that 1 mile and get there. Well, if you're, you know, have the wrong intel, have the wrong direction, have no direction, you're going to go all the way around 24,000 miles of the earth. You'll get there, but you'll probably run out of time. And he kind of went on a whole tangent about how, you know, most people will be millionaires and will achieve the success that they want if they live to 160. So to condense that time and go in that right direction, your first step is admitting you're lost. Hey, you know what? Thought this was north, but this might be south. Can somebody help me? Reach out. And, you know, I think that just hit me so hard. It's like, you're so right. You could be sprinting in the wrong direction. Doesn't matter how hard you're working and hustling if you're not going the right way.
Yeah. And people, there's Charles Darwin, you know, the kind of modern day natural selection, you know, scientist, the one who wrote the entire process on this. He's observed, you know, organisms and organizational structure of organisms. And even at like a microorganism level, you can observe this. Basically, organisms who operate on trial and error, they do way worse than organisms that observe other organisms and watch them operate by trial and error and learn from their mistakes and then course correct. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we look at people who have done things before us and just see how they did, model things how they did, right? They did stuff that's right. We take some of their approach, take pieces from it. So those are the people who have success and who actually find the true north.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah.
Have you guys ever admitted to yourselves? I know you're talking about, you said you have to admit I'm lost. Have you guys ever done that? Like, I know I had this discussion post about feeding off of each other and that like growth is one of your core values in relationship. I feel like growth is saying, admitting in a relationship that you might be lost at a certain point. So was there like a certain point when you guys said like, I am lost to each other?
Yeah, I think for us as a couple and business partners, it's harder to admit, like, maybe I was wrong. We just had a discussion about that this morning, and there was an instance, and I, like, admitted on the podcast we were recording, hey, I was wrong about this thing 2 weeks ago. And Jordan's, like, just so forgiving and, like, calm, and like, I know, but I was, like, never going to call you out on it. Definitely, though, and I think if one of us is lost, we're both lost, because we both have so many of the same inputs, so much information we bounce off of each other. I think what we are pretty good at, though, is looking and saying, we're lost. We don't know. We need someone like, you know, like Jason, who's been there before, or we, you know, we need this or that in this area of expertise. We don't run for long. Like, we don't allow ourselves to become that much of an echo chamber together.
Yeah. And that goes back to having an abundant mindset. The fact that Aaron and I are always looking at ways to help other people where we know that we have a better answer, a better solution. We're always there. Our door is always open. Like, you know, Anthony, if you ever need something, you just hit me up, man. I'll give you direction. I'll give you some what I've learned from my experience, because then the moment you realize you're lost, you have all these people out there to help you course correct. It's a button, right? There are people out there now that Aaron and I can call for any circumstance, between people in our network, mentors, other business coaches, people successful in business. We can just run problems by them, man, and figure out the best solution. So the sooner you do admit your loss, though, is the sooner that you can then start to help other people and become more abundant, and then set yourself up for, you know, to get directions when you need directions.
And I think that leads honestly to my next point about being happiness focused. I think once you admit that you're lost, you can truly start to become happy. And I think that's when you start seeing that success and that growth. So a lot of people, we're going back to the money, because that's what I feel like the world just keeps. It's the system that a lot of people are stuck in. And it's the one that the world wants us to believe, is that we're surrounded by money and money rules everything. But it's truly a lot of people like Gary Vaynerchuk or you guys say that you should be happiness focused. So how has being happiness focused led you guys to being more successful than others who are just money focused?
Yeah. I'll start with that, because I think I ran in the wrong direction for a few years, and I had to learn the hard way, like I learned most things. So I, you know, for years thought that happiness was this destination, and I thought it was a dollar amount, and then I just kept blowing past every dollar amount to come back and realize that that's just not what it was at all. And when I finally took a step back and realized that for me, it's a lot in connection and collaboration and growth more than anything. And you don't grow. I mean, I had a well-oiled machine making $500,000 a year, and it was awesome. And I felt like that was happiness. That was the pinnacle, until I realized I'm stuck here. I'm doing the same thing day in and out. I kind of feel like, you know, what is the point? And I had to take a huge step back from that to go and say, you know what, I'm kind of lost, because I don't even know what my destination is. So of course I'm lost. Started hiring mentors, joining masterminds, that sort of thing, to realize, okay, like, now I need to decide what I really want in order to get there. And what I wanted was, like, truly changing people's lives, and then taking a step back. All right, what am I really good at? How do I change those things? So I think for me, it was like realizing that there is no destination that's going to achieve happiness. That's all part of the journey, as cliche as that sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's well said. You know, I like to use like an analogy of an airline. So if you're on a plane and there's a warning, something going wrong, they'll drop the face mask, right? The oxygen mask. And they tell you, don't start helping other people. Save yourself first. If you can't save yourself, then you can't help anybody beside you. And we were at Tony Robbins, and he talked about like somebody like Robin Williams rather. And Robin Williams, you know, on the surface level, one of the happiest people you could ever see. He made everybody around him laugh, made everybody around him feel great. He had all the money in the world, had a beautiful family, beautiful wife, but he never stopped to really take care of himself. And, you know, we all know what happened. So everybody in life, you know, is either an example or a warning. So I think Robin Williams especially was a warning that success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. Mm-hmm. So if we do continue to push and grind in this direction, that we're not in the process being fulfilled. We think that, oh, once we get there, there's going to be fulfillment. There's going to be a carrot there. Then we're literally just setting ourselves up for a horrible end road, whether that be depression. I mean, who gives a fuck what your bank account looks like when you're just depressed? Yeah. So I think that's always got to be the process. And happiness comes from progress and contribution. Are you making progress towards a more compelling future? What's that compelling future that you're looking for? Are you making progress? And also, are you contributing? Are you helping others? Are you doing things to make people around you better?
Yeah, I think I'm in it right now where I think I'm probably the happiest I've ever been. I think it's so now I'm like reaching out to people like you guys, and people are saying yes, and they're listening to my podcast before they even come on. And it's like, I'm giving them that value of something, of listening to my story or something, maybe something clicked with them that they decided to agree to come on. And then I also have like my first client. So I have her, she decided to take a chance on me because I've been giving her advice for so long that she just decided to do it for free because that's what I'm offering to her. And she's seeing change. And like, she like always texts me when she's seeing, like when someone gives her a compliment in the gym that doesn't even know her and they say, oh, we see you all the time. And you like, you change, like you look great. And she like texted me that. And I was like, that's the best feeling. I was like,
well, look at that, man. You're the happiest that you've ever been. Number one, you're contributing. And number two, yeah, you're making progress towards something. Mm-hmm. You're growing your business. You were, you know, creating a podcast. You're going in a direction, you're making progress. So the moment we lose sight of that, I think is where it goes wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
And I think it's a lot of people aren't grateful too. I think a lot of people need to definitely work on their routine. I think that's a big thing that's helped me, is that like now I meditate and I do my gratitude journal as part of my morning routine. I think that's been two of the biggest things that have led to me growing in the direction I have, is because you get those moments to just be with yourself and see where you want to take yourself. And it's like those quiet moments that give you that thought to like go in this direction, and that you should follow yourself, because that's what you should do. Once you trust, if you trust your gut, usually your gut's right somehow. I don't know how, but it's usually right.
So the two most important decisions that you'll ever make in life are, number one, who you surround yourself with. The number two is the decision to be happy no matter what. You know, you've got to find a way to be happy and appreciate even shit that pisses you off. And that all comes from gratitude. And Aaron's been a big potentiator for that in my life, and a reminder to always, always get back in gratitude, because you cannot be anxious. You cannot be frustrated when you're in gratitude.
No, you really can't have the two at the same time. And I'll tell you what, if you can't appreciate what you have right now, you're not going to appreciate what you think you're going to appreciate when you get there. You have to every single step.
Yeah. That's like one of the best things I've heard. I saw Aaron post about it. Honestly, like I think it was yesterday, you were talking about unfollowing people who give you bad energy. It's like, why would you unfollow those people? You have to look within yourself first to see why you unfollow those people. And I think that was an important thing.
See, that's such a great thing, man, that you do there. Like that, never lose sight of that. Like, you don't know how much Aaron appreciates the fact that you know, are able to recall something specific, which she talks about. And that is an interviewer. That is just another human, and actually connecting is so valuable.
Yeah. I mean, it brings so much value to the conversation, and it does. It humanizes, because it's like listening is the best like skill you can have. I hop on here hoping to learn something, you know, hoping to take something for you. I hop in every conversation hoping to do that, because I already know what I know. And for you to like sit back and like, you know, not be in the moment on a podcast, recalling things from yesterday, that's huge.
You got a funny story around that, where you talk about how important listening and just asking questions and stuff. Listening to another, I've been like on a Tai Lopez kick here for about 48 hours. But he's telling the story about meeting Elon Musk. And Elon Musk is a huge Hollywood guy. He goes to all the premieres and the red carpet events. And so does Tai Lopez. So he ends up running into him in the bathroom. And Elon recognizes him. He's like, hey, you're that social media guy. And he's like, yeah, you know, like, how are you? And they proceed to talk for about 30 minutes. Well, Elon started to ask Tony, hey, what do you think about Snapchat as a way to grow Tesla? Like, what are your opinions? So he's like, you know, in my reactive state, because he really looked up to Elon, he just wanted to provide. So he just started, he said he went on a 20-30 minute tangent about everything about Snapchat, you know, all his opinions. And then he's like, well, Elon, you know, what do you think? He's like, well, I think you're wrong, but thanks. Walked away. So Elon knew, hey, I'm going to get more value out of him. Rather than that, and you know, Tai Lopez is like, man, why didn't I use the opportunity to ask him questions? Mm-hmm. Because Elon is smarter.
Yeah. We all do that when we're like nervous, right?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Elon didn't say a single word for 30 minutes.
Trust me, this is what I honestly said this on a podcast episode before. I'm honestly like, man, I'm kind of just using this to learn as much as I can. I get a free hour with every person that I meet.
We like podcasts too.
So it's like, why wouldn't I? It's like, it's been the coolest thing, because you get different people's views on the same type of topics I usually talk about. And I think we all get caught in this moment, bringing up the next thing where I was actually listening to you and your podcast with Megan, and I'm having her on. I finally scheduled her to come on, so I'm kind of excited to have that. But she described in the progress, and why your progress sucks, is that you compare yourself to others is the death of yourself. And I think I couldn't be more true to that, because I compare my podcast or my Instagram all the time to other people who have thousands and thousands and thousands of followers. And it's like, I had to take a step back and it's just like, realize like what the value I give. But it's like, it's surprising that just like comparing yourself can actually like be the death. So if you guys want to go into more on that topic, that'd be great.
Yeah. So in the book Atomic Habits, James Clear talks about that. And he says that's the biggest issue with everybody. Rather than thinking, I forget the word he used, but just like longevity and time and like where our trajectory is basically what he says. We don't think like that in terms of progress. We think in terms of like relation around us. Do I have like more money than my neighbor? Is my lawn nicer than theirs? Am I skinnier than so-and-so? And that is our biggest issue. If we can think of like our trajectory. And then once we do that, time just becomes our friend. Where do we want to go? Kind of just put it on autopilot, the 1% improvements we make every single day and go after it rather than worrying about what's in relation to you. Cause that doesn't help you anyway.
Yeah. And there's a quote that we always repeat to IFCA students who suffer from that. And don't get me wrong there. This is an issue at every level.
Oh, for sure.
So it's always something that you have to recognize and combat. Now you become better at combating it and recognizing when you're falling into those little pitfalls, but you know, you can't compare your day 50 to somebody else's day 4,000. It just doesn't make sense logically. And that tends to be what we do, right? Because anybody who you look at and you kind of aspire to want to model after or create, which is a great thing. And we can even talk about that, you know, modeling after people and looking at people and having that option. Do I look at this person and become discouraged, become jealous, become envious? Or do I look at them and think, huh, what they're doing is pretty fucking cool. I'm probably going to pay attention to them, study them, model them, take things away from them. But you have that option. And those who fall into that first category, they drive themselves crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love to touch on that because I actually look at the fact that we both have podcasts and I found you guys right as I was thinking about creating my own. So in May, I think I found you guys and I kind of looked up to you guys while I was creating mine. So all last semester while I was like doing podcasts every now and then, I was listening to your guys' episodes like every day, like every one different one. And it's like, I look up to you guys. Like that's like, it's how I find, like I see little types of things that people may say, and then that attracts me to go follow them. And I read more about their material. And then I see where I could get them on to discuss like that certain topic that clicked with me in the beginning to actually like come on and record.
Well, it's awesome that you have that mindset because just like Jordan said, you could have looked at us and said, well, I'm never going to have a studio like them. I'm in college. Like I can't do that and just not have started. And a lot of people do that. You compare and say that. And imagine if like every mentor, Jordan and I could have done that. We could have looked at the Mind Pump guys and said, well, we're not Joe Rogan. We're not Mind Pump. Why would we even start? But I'm sure like every mentor that's ever changed your life, every person that's ever impacted you, there's someone they could have looked to and done that. Like if LeBron would say, or if anyone other than LeBron would say, well, look at LeBron, I'm not going to be as good as him. We wouldn't have a basketball league. You know, we wouldn't have all the things we have in the world. So there's always space for people to step in and do that. And you can look to them for inspiration and like, hey, I'll get there one day.
Mm. Yeah. And I think modeling yourself, I think like I took an element of yours. It's at the end of my podcast. I took an element from you guys because it's a way that I improve myself. So I include like what three books to do at the end or something like that. And I said, instead of that, I made it what three books or podcasts to sell. And it's like modeling yourself. And that's like where I found myself having a unique situation is that I started modeling myself kind of after you guys, but then I started deriving it to my own path. And I found listening to you guys. And it's insane. I don't know if you've ever, so Jason kind of was talking to me about this because I've been talking to him lately and Chase, because Chase is my mentor right now. So Chase was talking to me about that and he's like, you have to tell your own story. And those two talk about it, I think the most. And it's like, that's where you separate yourself from everybody. So,
yep.
And I think that's when I found my purpose. I want to touch that on with you guys. Like, when did you find your purpose in it? And I think my purpose came a few weeks ago when I was talking with Chase about telling my own story and how to make my posts more about my vulnerability and what I went through. And so if you guys want to touch on when did you guys like find that you guys wanted to coach or find that you wanted to change so many people's lives that you already have and such.
Yeah, it's been a like windy road that I feel like continues to like you find more progression and purpose in each of that. And we can both kind of start and tell our own separate stories. For me, it followed a very like natural progression of I started my own fitness journey. I started teaching group fitness classes. I started coaching a few people locally and then started documenting it. And I started documenting it because I was lonely because I didn't have any other friends to talk to about it. And eventually people started reaching out. Hey, looks like you could help me. Looks like you know what you're doing. Well, you know, I don't know how to help you over the internet until that problem kept coming up over and over and over. And then I found a way. And then, you know, it became extremely rewarding from there. And then I said, well, if I want to reach more people, I need to learn about marketing. Started really learning about marketing. How do I reach people online? And then I started having people coming to me with that problem. Hey, you know, I want to create a business similar to the one you've created. How did you do that? Well, let me think on that. Let me, you know, put together a way that I can help you. And so that's kind of how it's always like come. Like, it's just been like, people came to me with a problem over and over and over. And I'm like, I know I have a solution. I know I can help. And I think that alone makes you feel really purposeful when people are saying, you know, help me do this. I'm like, yeah, I do. I have all the pieces right here. And it was just people were asking, people were reaching out.
Yeah, I like that. Now, I guess for me, like macro wise, you know, if we talk about like macro purpose, connecting with people, helping people. And I think that's obvious. I think all of us within our space relate to that on a macro level. Micro wise, I think it can change. I think people have different things in different times of their life where they're really focused on or want to make a difference in. And for me, I know that that's going to be the case. Like, I always want to be a coach in some capacity. We're always going to build businesses. But like, you know, my purpose now might be a little bit different in a few years. It's hard to tell on a micro level. But connecting is always going to be the case. And always, always hyping up Erin and supporting her in any way I can and making sure she gets the point that I know, because I know she can impact so many people and can help so many lives. And I want to see her into her greatness. That is a big part of my purpose as well. But for me, they talk about in psychology that it's hard to change anybody after the age of 25 to make any really pivotal changes to their personality.
Dude, I feel that.
Yeah.
I'm 25, man.
Yeah. I'm only 22, so I guess I got three more years to go.
You got a few more. Choose them wisely because you become stubborn as fuck after that.
The one silver lining there is the one way which you can, it's really change directions. It really change fundamentally who a person is or how they operate on a psychological level is after massive trauma. Mm. And after a massive trauma, you're in a point where almost your psyche is at like a clean slate.
I also feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to hit almost a rock bottom, right? So for me, that did come around the age of like 26, mm-hmm. 27. I was living in a city where I'd taken a job that I didn't really want, but the money was great. Yeah. Lost that job, was stranded, didn't know anybody in the city. Money was low. And I felt lost. I felt like, here I am, 26 years old in a city that I don't know anybody. I don't have a girlfriend. Like, I don't even have a fucking dog. And my life does not look anything like I projected it to. So that kind of massive trauma point is what caused me to sort of re-engineer my purpose. And really the biggest difference was for me to just stop giving a fuck what anybody thought.
Yeah.
When you start to do that, man, things start to click.
Man, that's cool. I'm so surprised you've never told me about that before because that's so relevant to both of our lives. You know, mine was.
I just heard it from Ty Lopez last night.
Because I'm like banking that one. This is why Jordan, you didn't ask me this question. I'm going to tell you anyway. But this is why Jordan and I are a good combo because all the random facts, like he has a really great, like short-term special place for them are the quote. And then I remember the concept on like a kind of a macro level because I have a better memory and we can piece the two together really easily. But when he pulls them out, I'm like, oh yeah, let's dive into that. But yeah, like same kind of story. You know, I went through a divorce when I was 28 and I had to hit this like financial peak and found that myself in this kind of low place, like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm not happy with anything in my life. I don't have any friends. I have a marriage that's failing. I do the same thing day in and day out. And I don't even know if I'm like really enjoying it. And it was from there that I was like, I'm making a huge pivot. I'm making a difference.
Yeah. Because no amount of lecture, no amount of content, no amount of, you know, even if you read a book or two on self-development, none of that shit's going to hit home until you have massive trauma after a certain age is what we find.
Yeah. I'm actually writing a post on this because it's like it comes up because I had a moment during my sophomore year where I went through that point where I wasn't working out. I was drinking 4 to 5 nights a week and I was eating pizza rolls daily. I still sometimes do. Those are my guilty pleasure. But it was like I lost myself and I had to go. And I think I had to take a moment. I don't know if you guys ever done this, but I felt like I had to take like 6 months and just focus on myself.
Yeah.
Not focus on anything else. And I'm kind of in it again right now because that's what I'm doing because I love what I'm doing right now. And it's like, I'm taking this time to just focus on my business. And it's like, I really don't give a fuck about what anybody else says right now. It's like, even though they're like, it's your last semester in college. I'm like, yeah, but I'm trying to set up something so when I'm done college, I can actually work over the summer and try to build something up.
Yeah. So Warren Buffett was interviewed recently and they asked him what advice he would give to somebody in their 20s right now. And his number one thing was that don't give a shit about making money. Okay. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about the outcome. If I could do it over, I'm 30 now and I'm still like this kind of, but like, and I did do a lot of this in my 20s, but if I were you, my whole entire focus would be just compiling information, compiling wisdom, learning as much as you possibly can, experiencing as much as you possibly can. And if you continue to do that, then money's going to come. But if you do lose sight, you kind of pigeonhole yourself because maybe, you know, you start to focus only on what I can do to make 100 grand a year, 200 grand a year, 300 grand a year. But if you were just focused on you as a person, then maybe by the time you're 28, you're going to be making $1 billion. You know, it's, you should be focused on you, I guess is my point.
Yeah. Well, Warren Buffett, also a famous quote from him is the best investment you can make is in yourself. And this is a guy who has equity in how many companies and owns like
his companies get $200 billion.
Yeah. A year. Right. So, I mean, and he's invested in a lot of things and
the best investor to ever live.
Right. If he's going to give you investment advice, I would take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. No, that's why I'm investing. Like I'm investing in myself right now, like with the mentors, we're working with Chase, with doing the podcast, and they say to travel. So like, I just realized this now is that like, I'm going different places. Like I'm going to the Impact Collective in Austin in June because I want to travel. I'm going to go see Sean. Sean wanted me to come down to Texas to go visit him. So I was like, oh, of course. Well, I'm going to come down and I'm we'll like, oh yeah. So I get to see you guys again. So it'd be great. No, but it's like, I want to travel. I'm going to go do all these experiences while I still have the time to do it. And I'm not bogged down by work. And because
not only that, it is why you're not bogged down by work, but your brain is also in a much more, your brain's in a state right now where learning is a lot easier. Yeah. You've got more gray matter in the brain. Your frontal cortex isn't completely developed. You have the ability to literally morph your personality and who you are, like who you're going to be at 27 depends on the inputs that you put in right now. So if you're just focused entirely on like making a paycheck, you're fucking yourself.
Yeah. And like we just told you, after 25, you have to have some massive trauma. So either do it now or do it the hard way later.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do it now. So Aaron, I know you touched on something that I actually skipped over. So we're going to go back to it. And it's talking about feeding off of each other. With you two running, like you said, you two are two business owners. You guys both own separate businesses, but you guys work together too. So it's like, how do you guys feed off each other? In that retrospect where you got to keep balance though between like both your businesses and working together. So it's like staying focused on your online coaching clients, but also on that Transform Together clientele too.
Yeah. Well, we found the easiest way to do it was kind of just join all forces. Like, yes, that company's still mine. He still has his own company, but I hardly do anything without his input anymore because I need to know how it fits into the whole. That's something we've realized. When we first started dating, we had separate business ventures with different business partners. And what, at least how I felt is every time I was over there doing that, I felt like I had two full-time jobs because he didn't know my responsibilities over there with this. And I wanted to be like on the side with him more often. So I feel like unless we've kind of made a pact that we're always going to like be business partners and work together in some capacity, unless it just makes perfect sense for one of us to align with somebody else. And that's what's right for us, right? You know, advice I always like to give is do not choose a significant other as a business partner by default. Like, I think the worst thing you can do is, oh, he's here, I might as well give him some work. Like, that was never the evolution of this. It was, you know, Jordan has the exact like opposing character traits that I need in a business partner. I need someone to slow me down sometimes. And I need like organization in this type of way. And the fact that it just meshed together so well. And like, we thought hard on that. You know, we took personality tests, we analyzed, we started small in different projects. And I think that's really what's allowed it to be so cohesive.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust was continuously built kind of brick by brick where she would come through for me. I would come through for her, keep commitment to me, keep commitment to her, or come through, right? Like have a great idea and like almost prove your worth to each other. Because again, just to reiterate what Aaron said, it's like, just because I love and respect everything she brings to the table as a partner, that should not carry over into business. Business is a lot different. And yeah, it's just worked out so well. We're very fortunate that she carries all the attributes and oversight, which I lack, especially when it comes to like making sure businesses make money as compared to just like do a lot of cool stuff, which is important. And, you know, there are just so many areas which we really do just fit, you know, we mesh together well, and we're really fortunate for that.
Do you guys ever struggle though? I know you guys talk about this a lot, but I know being in a relationship, it's tough. Do you like separating business and then your relationship? So I know you guys not at all.
It might be, people might advise us otherwise. We've tried, like we still do, like we'll have times where it's like, hey, let's stop talking about business. Right. You know, one of us might be a little bit tired or burnt out and just not feeling it. But if it's 10 o'clock at night and ideas are firing, we're fucking firing. Okay. Like what we enjoy. It's what we love.
We kind of joke that like, if we didn't have this business partnership, what kind of relationship would we even have? And I think like, you know, we're getting to the point where we're ready to have kids and stuff, but I think that's where a lot of people fall, like a few years, like younger than us or even younger, where they're just like, well, we're getting bored. So like we need something to hang out and talk about anything. And like, I feel like we, you know, that's probably what we would have done, but our businesses are our babies. So that's like the thing that keeps us connected, really.
Yeah. And we're not far out from having kids, you know, it's a plan within the next year. And so we need to really use this opportunity and this time to set them up, to set up our lives the best way that we can. So we're hustlers, man. We're hustling right now. We don't intend on that being the case forever. So we're setting things up. We're growing our team. And eventually we are going to be in a place, I certainly imagine, where business is not going to be the number one priority. Your conversation piece is going to be our children, our family, and other things. But right now, man, we enjoy it. We're really passionate about it. We're not burnt out yet. Well, sometimes we get burnt out, but
it depends on the day.
But it's still there. But there are seasons, right, man? Like we're in this season right now, and we know in 1 year from now our prerogatives could be completely different.
It'll be cute to listen back on this podcast and be like, oh, remember when we were so young and hungry before we had kids?
And I think it brings it into the point where you talk about your success, and I know Aaron talked about this on Cody McBroom's podcast about the feeling like, would you ever consider yourself successful? And I wrote a note in my mind and right after I did this, and I was like, I feel like there's always going to be a need for more. And it's like, I get that now, like even just this young, I'm like, I kind of want more. And it's like, I just want to see growth.
And that's exactly it. That's what I was getting ready to say. Like, growth becomes the goal. And that's what you need to realize, is that it's not a financial objective. It's not, you know, a certain number of anything, really. It's just, am I growing? Am I making progress? Like Jordan said, the key to happiness is, am I making progress? So I think that's okay. I think it's okay to continuously set the bar. This is something I used to get a lot of shit for from people around me, because I would always, you know, when I do this, I'll work less. When I do that, I'll work less. And then I just stopped like making apologies for myself. I said, nope, it's never going to be good enough. I'm always going to be doing it because growth is the goal.
Yeah. And I don't think that you should apologize for that. And, you know, if that's what you're sort of driven by is growth, but you know, where the lines become blurred is if you are looking at growth only financially or only number of team members or revenue or whatever the case is.
Because
those are arbitrary, right? Those are things that you can look at on a scoreboard, and that scoreboard, you're always just want to keep getting go up. But if you look at it simply in terms of, I want to feel fulfilled every time my head hits the pillow. And for me, that is knowing that I did shit that day. I went forward. I made progress. Then that is very healthy, in my opinion, for people like us. It's not for everybody.
I think a really good question to ask yourself that we start asking clients recently is, how are you going to feel when you get there? Yeah. Because that's a good way to like, less objectively, or I guess I should say subjectively, kind of identify what that actually is like, because a lot of times we lose sight of it. People, fitness clients, for example, five more pounds. And sometimes I'll just ask, like, you know, why? Like, why you're in great shape? Why? And how do you think you're going to feel when you get there? Well, I am going to feel like my clothes feel better. I'm going to feel confident. Blah, blah, blah. You just told me you felt all those things in your check-in. So tell me how it's going to be different. And sometimes you can sit back and actually enjoy a moment, be like, you know what? I'm there. I feel great.
Yeah. I think part of my mission too lately, I've actually was just thinking about this the other day in the shower. It's that, you know, success, I think, is if I were to die and you were to ask my friends, hey, is Jordan successful? And I know that might sound weird at first, because you're thinking it's almost like contradictory, right? Like, yeah, Jordan was very successful. We made a lot of money, had a nice house, like had cars, all this stuff. But I want them to say, yes, Jordan's successful for a different reason. And maybe if it's even just an inside joke between me and my friends where they don't have to define it, but I want to know that the friends in my life are people that don't define success based on those metrics, but they know that I'm the kind of person that is always there for them. Like I have solutions for them. I'm the kind of person they can rely on. Like I'm a good friend. And that makes me feel successful, knowing that I was able to attract people like that into my life. and they decide to stay. So I think that's just a huge thing. And for Aaron to say that too, like, yeah, Jordan was successful because he was a good husband. He was a good father, you know, all these other things. Like for me, it's like, ask somebody else, but don't ask somebody who doesn't know me, you know?
I like that. Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah.
So it's even just creating the tiniest of impact. Is that where you consider yourself successful? Like I feel like I'm successful right now because I'm creating some sort of impact. And totally. I think I learned that directly from Jason and you guys and all them, whoever follows him and whoever kind of tells his material, is that it's just creating that tiniest little impact.
Anytime you're feeling stagnant, like Jason has taught this, and it's really been a huge thing for me, is that connect, right? So with my clients, calm down, be in the moment, like really connect. Like this conversation that we're having right now, I used to be really bad about always being one step ahead, you know, checking my phone and just like not being able to be there and really be present, connect with you, right? And I've improved on that a lot. And coincidentally, my happiness has improved substantially.
I think Jason's advice helped, but I haven't read this book in years. Jordan can speak to it more than me, but he read The Power of Now, and I've seen him completely change as a person. So if anyone out there is resonating with what Jordan's saying about not being able to be in the moment, checking your phone, worrying about the next thing, being in your head, it's been a night and day difference, even like in this conversation. Like usually like you're like looking around and I'm like, I don't think he's listening.
I was never in the moment. I was always like kind of, again, one step ahead in the future. And The Power of Now has been a definable book for me. And our good friend Hannah recommended it, and it's basically, you can sum it up in one phrase. It's like, you know, every anxiety, fear, piece of stress that we ever confront with ourselves, it's always in the future tense or in the past. We're either, you know, dwelling on the past or we're worried about the future. Whereas in the present, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing that needs to be done except to focus on where your feet are right now, this conversation.
Yeah. You know? And I think that's been, I don't think I've ever been so in, besides with you guys and Sean, in a conversation. Like it's just because if I miss something from you guys, I know how your podcast goes. I always have to rewind because if I lose myself in thought, I always have to go back and see what they said because I'm always missing something. So I always have to go back and re-listen.
Yeah, there's a really, really successful friend of mine who, his name is Mike Daner. He was like number two in Dr. Axe's company. I think they were at one point, they were on pace to be, I think they were on pace to be like a $100 million company.
I thought it was a billion.
Maybe it was a billion.
It was the first sports nutrition website or just sports, fitness website to hit a billion.
But this guy, one of the quickest, just like marketing minds, whatever, he had a tactic where he said, you know, he's just going to start absorbing information. And how am I going to do that? Well, he'd start an audiobook, and every time he'd drift off, even for a second when he's driving, whatever, he'd start it back over at the beginning. He said like the first time he did that, he'd listen to a book 60 to 70 times. And then the next one was like maybe like 30 times. And then finally he was able to just make the habit of really zoning in and really listening. He'd like punish himself. We've always joked about doing that. We never have.
Yeah,
I've done it. Never the entire book, man.
Yeah,
but I'll go back on chapters a lot when I catch myself. Mm-hmm. You know, you catch yourself just being ahead two chapters, like shit.
Yeah, you're like, what actually happened? Like, I had to go back. Like, I was reading. You always bring this book up, 12 Rules of Life.
Yeah,
And I was like so lost. Like Jordan's language is so sophisticated, and I was like, shit. I got to go back, reread this. And then you described the one episode, the one about the, what was it? The lobsters.
Yeah.
And you described it fairly well. And I got it right away when you described it. And I was like, damn, reading this chapter was like, and then I was just like looking back. I was like, oh no, I don't remember anything from this chapter.
Yeah. Honestly, that's Jordan's superpower. He can take very complex concepts and break them down like that. And he'll oftentimes have me read something and I'll read the whole thing. And I'm like, can you tell me what it means? Because I'm like, I know you can explain it without me having to reread it three more times.
Well, we're getting to the end, guys. So, we're going to get to the final, usually I do final three questions. First one is, what three things do you think everybody should leave with if you could sum up this hour podcast?
What three things should we leave with?
Yeah. Do you want us to just go ahead and answer this as a unit?
Yeah. You guys can answer this as a unit if you guys want.
Cool. So I'll start with one. And I think it's that not measuring success by anything other than those two variables, right? Are you making progress? And that progress can be definable for different people, you know, impact in others' life, connecting with people, progress towards, you know, physical goals, like making progress day in and day out. And number two, contributing to others or contributing to the greater purpose or, you know, our world, doing something that is selfless on a regular basis. That's really what's going to measure happiness.
Yeah. Jordan gave two, and which means I only get one. So I only
give two. One.
That was just one.
Okay. Kind of the last point we were talking about, and like to sum up, just, you know, be where your feet are, be in the moment. It's going to alleviate so much anxiety. It's going to help with, you know, depression and worry and things like that. Like really just anytime you're kind of feeling out of control, be right where you are right now and focus on one thing at a time. Be present, be in the moment. There's another one that I started to say, and then I kind of lost. The point in that we were talking about in terms of, you know, going after a goal and ask yourself, am I measuring this in terms of my trajectory and where I want to go? Or am I measuring it in relativity to those around me? Because really only one of those matters.
Mm. All right. And then second to last question. I already said it today, but what three books or podcasts do you think everybody should listen to or read? And do not include The Flow State of Mind, because everybody should listen to that anyway.
I remember the name of this book. You want to go ahead with one, babe?
Man, this is a tough question because there's just so many that I could spit out.
I'm going to give a book that I'm currently reading, and man, because again, like giving just three books, Jed, that is really hard.
Yeah.
But Principles is one that I always like to throw in there by Ray Dalio. It's one of my all-time favorite books from, because I think a lot of people that listen to this are going to be somewhat business-minded and systematic and wanting to look for better ways to just live life, right? And that gives you a blueprint, a systematic and logical-based blueprint, and it's really powerful. The other one that I'll add, and then I'll let Erin give any that she wants, is Everything is Fucked by Mark Maron.
Mark Manson,
I'm sorry. He also wrote The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Man, the book Everything is Fucked is beautiful. Basically, the lineage or the idea there is that it talks about emotion and hope and these conceptual ideas and how they relate to evolution. And it's basically like why we operate the way we do. And a lot of these are regurgitated concepts between stories and emotional attachment and you know, things the theory of relativity and how everything we perceive in life is based on the observer's subjective position. And that, you know, there is no constant definite variable in life except for pain. Pain is the one variable which everybody has a kind of a constant, definable, or definable substrate to, but everything else, man, it's just dependent on the perception. So that book lately, man, has opened up my eyes in so many ways on how to understand myself and other people and just how to be a better human. So I love that one.
Jordan went the self-development route, so I'll go more kind of the business route. Amy Porterfield's podcast is one of my favorite. She's a course creator and just a very, very smart business mind. And so she has a lot of great people on the podcast and just asks questions from a really good perspective. She's very like type A, very organized, very like every single one you're going to have actionable takeaways from. I send those to a lot of IFCA students. So for any business owner, that's amazing. One of my favorite books, which is like not really at all self-development, but Profit First. And that's for anybody that is into starting a business. Once you get to a point where if you're not good with numbers, this is a really easy way to kind of systemize that, because if you're not making money, and especially if you're not keeping money, business just kind of is a hobby, and that can cause a lot of stress. So that book for me was like really, really eye-opening, really systematic. We're actually working with a virtual CFO now who follows a model of Profit First. And it just can alleviate so much just anxiety around money and just put systems in place to know where all your money is, know how much you're making, know how much you're spending.
Yeah, I'll add one more podcast in there. And this is for anybody just a curious mind who likes learning about, you know, societal issues, socioeconomic, even things along finance. It's very, very diverse range of topics, but it's called Mixed Mental Arts. And it's a guy named Hunter Motz and a comedian, Brian Callen. It's just a best podcast nobody's heard of. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And then final question. I mean, you guys already did it in the beginning, but just plug yourselves away, do some shameless plugging. So
for sure.
Just see where can people find you?
Yeah. So you can find me at Erin Diamond Fitness.
You're so funny.
so you can find us. Our main outreach or platform would be Instagram. So I'm at Doug Aesthetics, and then Erin would be at Erin Diamond Fitness.
Yep. And I mean, you can find everything we do on there. Anyway, you want to work with us, anyway, you want to get a hold of us, that's probably just the best spot.
Yeah. And so I also have a website, jordandugger.com. And then you can also find all of our different offers between Impact Fitness Coaching Academy, Transform Together, Doug Aesthetics. Erin Diamond Fitness is the only one that isn't on there. But if you're interested in coaching with Erin and her team, it's just erindiamondfitness.com.
I don't use that anymore. Okay. It's just the link that's in my Instagram bio.
Okay, link in bio. And our podcast, of course, you know, so Flow State of Mind, you can find that on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere the podcasts are provided.
Yep. Thank you guys so much for coming on. I really appreciate you guys again for allowing me to interview you guys, because it was probably one of the toughest things I've ever done. So,
were we that bad?
No,
I was just that nervous. But thank you guys again for coming on, and everybody, thank you for listening, and tune in to the next episode.
Thanks.